I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's something that most people never talked about. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. But in my conversations with the leadership of these large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in, shrinking demographics, these countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. And if the promise, I didn't say it's going to happen, but if the promise of all that transforms productivity, which most of us think it will, we'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries and the standard of living of individuals, even with shrinking populations. And so the paradigm of negative population growth is going to be changing. And the social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations. And so for those countries that have rising populations, the answer will be education, and so rapidly develop. You know, for those countries that do not have a foundation of rule of law or education, they're going to be left. That's where the divide's going to get more and more extreme. And unfortunately,
so yes, folks, depopulation and replacing humans with robots. You know, they really don't mind telling you their plans, you know. It's remarkable that there's still people that can't see what's going on. It really is, you know. Personally, I think the best thing to do in this situation would be to replace the members of the World Economic Forum and all of our governments with the corpses of their former selves. Maybe a little drastic, but, you know, that's what they're doing to us. They're depopulating the world, and everyone's too scared to fight back, because they might be breaking the law. The law that these parasites have put in place to protect themselves, of course. It's incredible, you know, and, you know, what do we do about it? Of course, the biggest obstacle we face is the brick wall of terminal stupidity, which is the police force, which is mainly doing a great job of protecting the ruling parasites and repressing the people. And it's just going forward in leaps and bounds. It's remarkable just how quickly it's going forward and how many people are letting them get away with it. You know, people still have faith in politics, which is the problem. You know, the genocide that's going on in Gaza, which has just been escalated again. There were peace talks happening, and there were Palestinians, like after 7 months of bombing, nearly 8 months of bombing, there were Palestinians who were literally celebrating in the streets just because there was talk of a ceasefire. But of course that didn't work out too well for them. Israel started bombing Rafah yesterday. And they're bombing Rafah, folks. Rafah is a tiny area at the southern end of the Gaza Strip where pretty well all of the population of the Gaza Strip has fled to try to seek shelter and respite from the constant bombing attacks. And now the terrorist forces of Israel have gone into Gaza while the peace talks are still ongoing. Of course, they rejected the proposal that was put forth by the negotiators of it.
At least Hamas says it agreed to a proposed ceasefire deal with Israel. Israel, though, says it's not on board.
And those developments come as the Israeli military prepares for an invasion of the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Shireen Rajay in the newsroom tonight breaking down the latest. Shireen.
Yeah, Marina, Jim, those strikes in Rafah have started, and UN agencies and aid groups warn of devastating consequences for the more than 1 million people who have sought shelter there. But yes, today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the ceasefire proposal negotiated by Egypt and Qatar does not meet his country's requirements, but Netanyahu says he will send a delegation of mediators to continue those talks. Now, the terms Hamas agreed to have not been released, but it's reportedly a three-phase agreement that includes a ceasefire, reconstruction of Gaza, and the release of captives on both sides. However, Israeli leaders have stated any language that requires a full withdrawal of IDF troops from Gaza would kill the deal. Today, the Israeli military called for targeted strikes against Hamas militants in eastern Rafah. The strikes beginning only hours after warning the estimated 1.4 million Palestinians sheltering there. These are children. These are families. Despite Netanyahu's rejection of the latest ceasefire deal, U.S. officials continue pushing towards an end to the fighting, as well as the release of more than 100 hostages being held by Hamas.
We still believe that reaching an agreement is the absolute best outcome, not only for the hostages, but for the Palestinian people. And we're not going to stop working to that outcome.
And President Biden spoke with Prime Minister Netanyahu today, and he apparently did agree to reopen a key border crossing between Gaza and Israel for humanitarian aid deliveries after it was shut down over the weekend during a Hamas attack. But again, a deep concern as all eyes are on Rafah. The United Nations Humanitarian Aid Agency says hundreds of thousands are at risk of dying.
Yeah, they rejected it because they will reject anything which calls for them to withdraw from Gaza. They want to leave their occupying forces in there and take over Gaza and basically start treating it like the West Bank, put checkpoints everywhere and blah blah blah. But the ideal situation for them is for all the Palestinians to be gone and for them to simply take over the Gaza Strip and make it part of Israel. That's their plan. And it's horrendous, folks. The people described it as fire from hell, that it was literally raining bombs on Rafah. And think about it, folks, 1.4 million people sheltering in Rafah, mostly women and children, civilians, all of them. Israel has taken over the Rafah crossing, so of course people can't leave now. Been calling for them to evacuate and then closing all the borders and taking over all the border exits so no one can evacuate. This is the way Israel works. And there's 1.4 million people sheltering there. You know, official figures, they say 40,000 people have been killed in this war, which isn't a war, it's a genocide. As I've said before, it takes two armies to have a war. What's going on in Gaza is a genocide, there's no question of this. And there's 1.4 million people sheltering in Gaza, yet they say the official death toll is 40,000 people. Well, there are 2.4 million people in Gaza Strip. If everyone's been removed from the northern area, which they have, and there's 1.4 million people sheltering in Rafah, then what happened to the other 60,000 people that they're not mentioning? As I said before, the death figures that we're hearing are grossly understated. And just the fact that there are only 1.4 million people sheltering in Rafah, which is a lot, but there's only 1.4 million. That would indicate that at least a million people have been killed in Gaza, and that sounds far more reasonable. The amount of bombing that they've done, the amount of buildings they've destroyed, the shit they're doing to these people, it's absolutely unforgivable. But of course, you can't speak out about it, because if you're anti-genocide, then you're being called anti-Semitic. Absolutely incredible, folks. You cannot criticize anything the rogue state of Israel does. Anything that Israel doesn't like, it'll just call you an anti-Semite. And these people aren't even Semites themselves. They're all from European countries. Well, the government is anyway. And the problem is that 80% of the people in Israel support what's going on. This is a demented race of psychopaths, folks. I mean, honestly, what can I say? Judaism is a psychopathic programming culture. It programs people to be psychopaths. Simple as that. programs people to have complete disrespect and even unbridled hatred for anybody who does not follow their stupid little book. The stupid little book that they've completely misinterpreted and rewritten and created to exalt themselves and give them the excuse and the ability to be able to genocide the rest of the world, and that's what they're doing. But of course you can't criticize it. They're bringing in new hate speech laws everywhere, as I've said before.
Essentially, it will work the same as a passport. Australians forced to submit 100 points of identification, like their driver's license or passport, when using social media accounts like Facebook and Twitter. Now, police would have access to those social media accounts, and it's all part of a crackdown on online abuse. Now, users could be liable for defamation suits or even criminal prosecution, and it's all part of a plan hoping to deter people from engaging in bad behaviour. Now, the recommendations were handed down by a federal parliamentary inquiry. They're reforms that are being considered.
And as I've been saying since 2017, when I first started talking about social crediting and all the stuff they want to do, and digital IDs, when the digital ID comes in place, they will be able to go back through your browsing history and look at anything you've ever written anywhere and bring that forward and add it to your social credit points or your lack of social credit points. And this has just been confirmed by Justin Castro in Canada, who has basically said that they're bringing in new hate speech laws and that anybody who has ever posted anything is going to be charged for it. They're going to go back retroactively and look at posts people have made and charge them for what they've said if it's considered a hate crime, even if they made the post before the laws came into place. It all works the same way, folks. It all ties into the depopulation agenda. Now, get control of everybody that they can and depopulate as many people as they can. New hate speech laws coming in Australia, of course, on the spate of all the knife attacks and things that have been happening. And these knife attacks are ongoing. And like I said before, there are lots of knife attacks in Australia, in England, in the United States, in Europe. Lots of people get stabbed. But suddenly they've made it an issue. And the reason they've made it an issue is so they can bring in new online hate speech laws and claim that people are being radicalised by the internet. There was a stabbing in Western Australia the other day, and they're saying the guy was radicalised by stuff that he'd seen online. And of course they're saying that this Western Australian stabbing has all the hallmarks of terrorism. All the hallmarks of terrorism. It's remarkable, folks. Remarkable they get anyone to believe any of this shit. But it's really getting to the next level. I mean, there's been so many people speaking out about the genocide of Palestine, and all of these protests have since been co-opted. We've seen what's been happening in the United States recently. People who are allegedly protesting the genocide in Palestine seem to be doing things like burning American flags, disrupting the American system as much as they can. And of course, who benefits from people doing that? Cubono, folks, who benefits? And of course, the only people who benefit from this sort of thing happening at what have been termed pro-Palestinian protests is Israel. So the conclusion would be that these people that are burning American flags are not Palestinian supporters. They are Israelis dressed up with Palestinian cloths around their head who are doing everything they can to disrespect the United States and make the people believe that it is Palestine that is doing this, or Palestinian supporters that are doing this. And they're still calling them Hamas supporters, of course, when they're not Hamas supporters. They're simply people who don't support genocide. And let's face it, in the light of what's happened in the last 5 or 6 months in Gaza, anybody who supports Israel is either a misguided, misinformed fool or a blatant psychopath. It's as simple as that. There's only two options, folks. You're either an uninformed idiot or you're a psychopath. But they're pushing it, and really pushing it. A recent speech by Donald Trump has stated that anti-Semitism should be punishable by death.
This evil anti-Semitic attack is an assault on all of us. It's an assault on humanity. It will require all of us working together to extract the hateful poison of anti-Semitism from our world. This was an anti-Semitic attack at its worst. The scourge of anti-Semitism cannot be ignored, cannot be tolerated, and it cannot be allowed to continue. We can't allow it to continue. It must be confronted and condemned everywhere it rears its very ugly head. We must stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters to defeat anti-Semitism and vanquish the forces of hate. That's what it is. Through the centuries, the Jews have endured terrible persecution, and you know that. We've all read it. We've studied it. They've gone through a lot. And those seeking their destruction, we will seek their destruction. And when you have crimes like this, whether it's this one or another one on another group, we have to bring back the death penalty. They have to pay the ultimate price. They have to pay the ultimate price. They can't do this. They can't do this to our country. We must draw a line in the sand and say very strongly, never again.
Isn't that lovely, folks? Doesn't that give you confidence? Who else said that anti-Semitism should be punished by death? Yes, folks, it was Joseph Stalin. This was how Bolshevism was run as well, because, of course, the people committing the Bolshevik genocide were Jews. And Stalin said that anti-Semitism should be punished by death. So Donald Trump has effectively revealed himself to be a Bolshevik. Bolshevism 2.0 is what we're seeing. And it's not just happening in Russia, it's happening across the entire world at the hands of these parasites who are in control of Israel and who are in control of all of our governments. Well, most of our governments anyway. Those that are not controlled by these people are getting fast whipped into line. And that's the plan, folks. That's what they intend to do. But all these Palestinian protests in the United States have just been simply a front to get new laws brought in. And now they're really cracking down on the protesters because, of course, like I said, they're burning American flags and doing all sorts of stuff, which is anti-US, which again isn't being done by Palestinian supporters, but is probably being done by Jews in order to push their agenda. Always remember the Mossad motto, folks: by way of deception, thou shalt do war. And meanwhile, you know, Israel's committing crimes all over the place. They were recently busted in Turkey for running an organ trafficking operation. And all these Palestinians are there killing and dropping back and dropping on the road and burying in blue bags and doing all the shit they're doing to them. So many of them have been found to have organs missing. And this is, of course, what's going on. These are probably being sent to this organ trafficking place in Turkey and other places around the world. And that's what they're doing, harvesting organs. I mean, Israel's always been the world's largest supplier of organs. You just order anything and they'll get it to you within a couple of days. Just go and kill a Palestinian and harvest it from them and sell it to you. That's the sort of stuff they do, folks. It's the most disgusting and evil entity that the world has ever known, the modern state of Israel. And it has nothing to do with the Israelites of the Bible. The people in Israel are not descended from King David. They are delusional, most of these people. Even the rabbis that are pushing all their shit and saying that invasion is a must and conquest is their duty. All these people are misinformed morons. They really are. But that's what they're openly saying, folks. That it doesn't matter if people are friendly to them. They need to kill them anyway.
Rabbi Eliezer Kashtiel explains the true reason for war and why waging war supersedes even the Holy Sabbath. Rabbi Kashtiel is the head of the High Yeshiva of Army Veterans in the settlement of Elit. His voice is by no means marginal. Besides being a religious authority, Rabbi Kashtiel belongs to the religious Zionist movement, a major power in Israel and especially in the military and political arena.
בישראל, בארץ ישראל, אנחנו צריכים לשים לב שיש שני צדדים לסוגיה. יש צד אחד של פיקוח נפש, הצלת נפשות, אבל יש צד אחר לגמרי, שהוא לא קשור לפיקוח נפש בכלל. אנחנו לא בסכנה, ידינו תקיפה. חובת כיבוש עלינו. מצוות עשה מפורשת אם כן ברמב״ם, לא צריך להתפלפל, רמב״ן, רמב״ם, לא, מפורש ברמב״ם, מצוות עשה, לכבוש את ארץ ישראל. חובה לכבוש. וכיוון שחובה לכבוש, זה דוחה שבת. גם אם לא היו יורים עלינו כדור אחד, גם אם תושבי חבל עזה, שאינם בני ישראל, היו כל הזמן רק מגישים לנו פרחים, עם מכתבי אהבה, עם ציורים של לבבות. היינו מחויבים בשבת לפתוח במלחמה, כדי לכבוש את ארץ ישראל. אם הם מוכנים לתת לנו את ארץ ישראל בחזרה, בבקשה. אם לא, צריך לכבוש. זאת ארצנו, ארצנו הקדושה. הקדוש ברוך הוא הבטיח לנו את הארץ הזאת, וציווה עלינו לרשת אותה, וירשתם אותה, וישבתם בה. בהקמת המדינה התחילו כיבושים. מלחמת השחרור התאפיינה במלחמה דו-משמעית. מצד אחד היה בה אלמנט של הגנה. היו מקומות בארץ שהיו מותקפים. כן, היה היישוב היהודי בצפת, הותקף, והיו עוד שיירות וכל מיני מקומות שהותקפו. היו יישובים שמותקפים והיה צריך להגן עליהם. זה היה פן אחד של מלחמת השחרור. אבל היה פן אחר. מלחמת השחרור, מלחמת העצמאות, היו מבצעים גדולים מאוד שלמטרתם לא הייתה הגנה בכלל. מטרתם הייתה חד וחלק כיבוש. כיבוש של שטחים שהאומות המאוחדות לא נתנו לנו. כיבוש של שטחים שלא היו בהסכם החלוקה. כל הנגב, היה כיבוש ענק, כל הנגב, אף אחד לא התקיף אותנו מהנגב. כי הוא עד אילת. מישהו ירה עלינו מאילת, מישהו ים עלינו, לא היה נפש חיה של יהודי לא הייתה שם. כיבוש. חבל עזה הוא ודאי ודאי ארץ ישראל, לכל הדעות. גם לפי הדעות המצמצמות את הגבול הדרומי של ארץ ישראל, רבנו סעדיה הגאון, רבנו סעדיה הגאון אמר שהגבול הדרומי של ארץ ישראל מגיע עד נחל אל-עריש. נחל אל-עריש זה הרבה 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 קילומטרים אחרי חבל עזה. זה המצמצמים. רש"י, הגאון מווילנה, הכוזרי, סוברים שזה עד נחל מצרים, הכוונה עד הדלטה של הנינוס, שזה, יש עוד הרבה, יש לנו עוד הרבה מה לעשות. כל צפון סיני הוא שלנו. אבל גם אם נלך לפי הדעות המצמצמות, דעת רבנו סעדיה הגאון, בוודאי שחבל עזה, מה שמכונה בתנ״ך ארץ פלישתים, הוא חלק מארץ ישראל. פרשת תולדות, שקראנו שבוע שעבר, שבת שעברה, נאמר ליצחק, גור בארץ הזאת. גור בארץ הזאת, באיזה ארץ? אומר הרמב״ן, בארץ פלישתים. כך מדייק גם האור החיים הקדוש על הפרשה. אתה צריך לגור פה. זאת ארץ ישראל. תקנה אדמות, תשתלט על שטחים. ועזרה יצחק בארץ ההיא, דווקא בארץ ההיא, בגרר, במקום שהפלישתים נמצאים. ארץ פלישתים זה חבל עזה, אפילו קצת יותר. לעולם צריך לזכור שבראש ובראשונה אנחנו לא רק עסוקים בפיקוח נפש ולא בהגנה עצמית. בראש ובראשונה באנו לכאן כי זאת ארצנו. בשביל להגן על העם היהודי מפני התקפות לא חייבים להיות דווקא פה. נקודת המוצא היא לא בגלל שהאויבים רשעים ולא בגלל שהם מאיימים עלינו, לכן אין לנו ברירה. לא. גם אם הייתה לנו ברירה ולא מאיימים עלינו בכלל, מצוות עשה. חובה גמורה לכבוש את ארצנו. אם לא בשלום, בדרכי מלחמה. יהושע בן נון, שכמו שאומר הרמב״ם כאן, פתח במלחמה על יריחו, לא הותקף. אף אחד לא ירח חיצים על יהושע בן נון. אף אחד לא התקיף אותו. עם ישראל ישבו בעבר הירדן, ואף אחד לא יהיה מלם. יריחו סוגרת ומסוגרת, אין יוצא ואין בא. מישהו ירה על חרב איים על בני ישראל שהיו במדבר, בעבר הירדן, לא איימו עלינו. אנחנו כבשנו, מיוזמתנו באנו, וכבשנו את יריחו בשבת, כי זה ארצנו. ואת כל הארץ כבשנו, לא כי היינו מאוימים. דוד הרחיב את גבולות הארץ וכבש, לא כי הוא היה מאוים. הוא מזמן לא היה מאוים, הוא כבש. למה הוא כבש? כי יש מצווה לכבוש את הארץ. אדרבה. זה שהקדוש ברוך הוא מגלגל שיש פה אויבים שלא מניחים לנו, זה כדי לרמוז לנו שאנחנו צריכים לכבוש. הקדוש ברוך הוא לא יניח ולא לא יניח ולא ישקוט עד שאנחנו לא נכבוש את כל ארצנו הקדושה. אז הוא יביא לנו אויבים מפה ואויבים משם שמתנהגים בצורה לא הגיונית בכלל. אנחנו צריכים להבין מה הנושא. כל זה שיש אויבים מסביב זה בשביל לרמז לנו, יש פה שטח שעוד לא כבשתם. וכל מקום שאנחנו צריכים להגיע לשם, יש שם האויב. שיראה עלינו כדי להזמין אותנו לשם. כדי לקרוא לנו בו. בו, זאת ארץ שלך, בוא תיקח. אתה לא מבין לבד, אז הקדוש ברוך הוא ישלח לך אויבים שיציקו. למה? המלחמה היא לא כדי להשקיט את האויב. לא בשביל להשקיט את האויב. זה גם חשוב להשקיט אותו. אבל מטרת העל היא לכבוש את ארץ ישראל. גם אם היום לא יראו עלינו אף טיל מאזור הצפון, אנחנו מן הדין, מצד התורה, חייבים לכבוש לפחות עד בירות. מינימום, הדעות הכי מצמצמות של הגבול הצפוני של ארץ ישראל מדברות על אזור בירות. יש שם הר גבוה, יש אומרים שזה אור ההר. יש כאלה אומרים יותר צפון. הרבה ראשונים אומרים, זה בגמרא בגיטין, פרק ראשון. הרבה אומרים שזה עד טורוס אמונוס, טורי אמנון, זה עוד יותר צפונה. זה כבר גבול טורקיה סורה שם בצפון. הטורקים מעצבנים אותנו. למה הם מעצבנים אותנו? למה הם נגדנו? הקדוש ברוך הוא מרמז לנו, אתם צריכים להגיע לשם. החיזבאללה יירה עלינו לא סתם. כי יש שם נחלת אשר מחכה לנו שם. שבט אשר, נחלתו שם, וירקתו עד צידון, ככה נאמר על אשר. יש שם השטח שלנו, צריכים להגיע לשם.
Yes, folks, we must all support Israel. After all the best people support Israel, don't they? And they're really pushing it, folks. You can't say anything bad against a Jew, and if you do, they're just going to go hell for leather trying to get you back and get the legal system changed to further support Israel. For example, the stabbing in Australia carried out by a guy, what's his name? Joseph Cucci or something? Something Cucci anyway. It was originally thought, and it was actually even stated on Sky News, that the attacker was an Israeli guy called Ben Cohen. This was later retracted, and they said it was this Cucci character. And Ben Cohen is now saying that he is really offended by what happened and that the police and the government need to do something about the fact that he was wrongly accused. In fact, he is saying that he wants the police to consider pursuing criminal charges for menacing, harassing, and offensive conduct, criminal defamation and inciting violence on racial grounds. Well, isn't that an interesting standard to set, folks? Does that mean we can charge Israel for doing that to the Palestinians? Because that's everything they are doing to Gaza right now. This guy's saying because he was wrongly named, he wants criminal action to be taken against these people. You can't hurt me, you can't abuse me, you can't say anything bad about me because I'm a Jew. And if you're doing it, then you're anti-Semitic, and if people are criticizing anything we do, then you need to make laws to stop them doing so. Yeah. And it just becomes so obvious what's going on, folks. This is depopulation by stealth. depopulation using unconventional warfare, using the jab, using the reduction of food, the control of everything, everything, folks. All the electric grid that they're bringing in, the smart grid. As I said before, smart is actually, if you look up the etymology of the word smart, it means to inflict sharp pain. That's what smart means. So think what this smart grid is going to be. But some interesting stuff that has come out, which is, again, everything we've been telling you. I mean, I showed you last week that the guy who got his car updated, his e-vehicle updated, his EV, whatever it was, Kia or something, went in for a map upgrade, and suddenly geofencing has been installed on his car so that he can be stopped from going anywhere they don't want him to go. Now it's come to light that Lexus, and I would imagine other companies as well, are sharing their driver's data with insurance companies. So, like, if you do something such as brake suddenly or accelerate too fast, then that will be reported to your insurance company. And there's one guy, like, accelerated too fast maybe once or twice over the month, you know, and braked quickly at some stage. I mean, if he braked quickly, you'd think he was probably a good driver avoiding an accident. But on the other side, no, he was following too close behind or whatever. He must have been driving too fast to begin with or whatever. But all this data is being now shared with insurance companies. And one guy got his insurance premium had gone up 21%. And he couldn't figure out why it had. And it's because the car has been reporting his activity and his driving activity to the company, and the company reports it to the insurance companies. Couple this with geofencing, digital IDs, digital wallets, digital money. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous, folks. And these people openly say they want to depopulate the world, get you eating bugs and mealworms and maggots and stuff, and maybe meat that's made out of human feces, and control everybody. They're saying that's what they want to do. And it's so obvious. I mean, it's just so obvious. And we're really getting to the next level with it, folks. And remember, you know, the Australian Prime Minister, before he was Prime Minister, he'd actually said that he will always support free speech, and that the Morrison government has no right to do any of the stuff that it's doing, and blah, 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 blah. But of course, they always play the agenda for themselves. So, you know, they say this sort of stuff so you'll vote for them. And then they get in there and they completely backflip, and the agenda just goes steadily forward the way it always does. But yeah, Albanese literally said that a few years ago. They will always support freedom of speech. But they do this, folks. They always do this to make you think that they're actually on your side and that voting makes a difference, you know. People go to the voting booths and they think that it's their chance to actually control the destiny of their nation and start moving the nation towards where they want it to go. And they just put up a politician who'll get up there and tell you barefaced lies and say all the stuff that you want to hear so that you'll vote for him. And then nothing changes and the agenda just goes steadily forward. And the people that are still supporting Trump, it's absolutely mind-blowing that people are still supporting this guy. And now he's openly saying that if you criticise Israel, you deserve the death penalty. You know, if you are protesting the genocide of women and children in Gaza, you deserve the death penalty. After these Israelis themselves, these Jews, say openly that their goal is conquest. That's what they're supposed to do. Supposed to conquer all the lands which will make up Greater Israel. And of course, they want to move to the Ukraine as well. And apart from that, one of their goals is to destroy Amalek, which is everybody who is not a Jew. I mean, they basically tell you this. They tell you what they're doing. And all of the politicians support it because they think that if they cater to these people, they're going to be spared. No, you're not. You're all going to be locked into this smart grid. All going to be depopulated. Even those who they call, you know, useful goy that are supporting them, like Justin Castro and Blonald Flump, and all of these people, Anthony Albanese, Peter Dutton, all of these scumbags, they think that they're going to have a better deal than everybody else. Well, no, they're not. They'll only keep them there as pets until they've managed to depopulate their own countries for them, replace the population in their own countries. And what replacement? Like I said, they're replacing all the nations of Europe, replacing everybody in Australia, all everybody of European descent, basically. They're loading them all into one basket and just they're just white people. It doesn't matter where you come from, you're just white people. Replacing all of these with Africans and Middle Easterns and all sorts of people from different ethnic classes and different religions and different cultures who are all hating on each other anyway and are going to fight each other. Now, the goal is to replace the white people because white people are in control of a lot of technology and, you know, they have pretty active brains that could actually work to defeat these people if you could get them unfluoridated and thinking for a while. So they need to replace all them. But replace them with all sorts of competing ethnic and cultural groups who will all fight amongst each other and kill themselves off once they've replaced the white people. So it isn't just white people they want to replace. They want to replace everybody. They want to get rid of everybody who isn't a Jew, and those that are left, turn them into robots or merge them with machine so that they've got control of them. And that's kind of what the soul capture is. I mean, the fact that, you know, we've come here to, there's like a soul harvest going on, it's not really the correct way to describe things. It's soul trap sort of thing. The soul trap is when you give your own soul away and you become part of the machine by choice. As I said, every time you comply with regulations, which you know are wrong, you give a little bit more of your soul away. But if you get to a point where they can actually merge you with machine, and your consciousness is locked into a machine, then what could they do with you then? And as I've said before, you know, if you can think of what reality really is and what you really are and how your soul, your spirit, your oversoul, whatever you want to call it, your everything is attached to the I am awareness. Now, I am Max Egan. I'm walking here in the sunlight in Croatia under the chemtrailed skies of Croatia. Check this shit out, folks. I mean, every day you just see this stuff here. It's remarkable, folks. There's just so many chemtrails all over Croatia. They chemtrail it until the sky is sort of silver-covered. They chemtrail it, like, for a few days. There's one just going up there now. They chemtrail it for a few days until the sky is fully chemtrailed and fully silver colored, and then they come along and they bring the rain, and the rain of course brings all of the chemtrails down onto the ground, so it gets onto your food if you're growing gardens, it gets into your water supply, all this sort of stuff. But yeah, where was I going? I just got distracted by the chemtrails. There's so many of them, and there always is. It's incredible, folks. The people of Europe are really under attack. I can't remember where I was going. I was saying something, and I was about to make a point, and I got distracted. Sorry about that. Maybe it'll come back to me if I look on my list. I don't really have anything on my list that much. But what was I saying? Crazy, folks. Crazy. You kind of get lost in the farm life out here. It's good to see a sunny day, though. I've got to say that. It's been really raining a lot. Well, it's been raining, it's been following me around. When we went to Zagreb, it rained all the way on the journey there, it rained all the time we were there, and then the sun came out the day we were leaving, and all the rain moved south, which of course was where I was going, to Rijeka and back to Zadar. And so it's been raining here again for the last week or so. But we have a sunny day today. I'm hoping there'll be a sunny day tomorrow, and that I get up early enough, and perhaps I'll be able to go in and show you the sea organ, you know, at the shoreline in Zadar. It's quite beautiful. I'd actually like to do a bit of a walk in the national park there as well. Not a national park, but just a park that's in the centre of town. It's quite beautiful. Zadar is quite a beautiful city, folks. It's got a lot of history. A lot of it has been rebuilt due to the war they had in, like, 1991. Bombs and shit going off everywhere. Hard to imagine this place in a state of warfare. I mean, when I've been driving down the road with my hosts, they've been saying to me, yeah, well, that left-hand side of the road, in 1991, we couldn't go over to that side of the road because that was the front. And there were soldiers back there, and everyone was blowing each other up and killing each other and blah, blah, blah. You couldn't go there. We had to stay on this side of the road and blah, blah, blah. And even the shoreline of Zadar, kind of changed at that time. There's a lot of old buildings there, which kind of, you can see them, they're old seawalls and things, but now they're in town, like a block back or two blocks back from where the water is, where the dock is. And it's quite amazing. But anyway, getting back to the state of the world. Yeah, if your consciousness is attached to the I am awareness, now I am Max Egan walking in Croatia, and they can actually put me, or put my consciousness into an avatar, into a robot, or into a mainframe, but I still believe I am, or I'm still aware. Imagine if they could literally take your brain or whatever, however they do it. I personally think they can probably do it by simply getting the antenna that is you. Like, as I said before, you know, your consciousness isn't local to your body. You harvest it. You harvest the frequency, which is you. If they can get that antenna that picks up that frequency and somehow put it into a mainframe, and your I am awareness is still attached to it, well, that's kind of a soul trap, because your soul would still be attached to that I am awareness. And imagine if they put you in a robot, and you're a robot, and you're living forever. And of course, you'd be an electric robot, so which means you'd be able to be remote controlled, geo-fenced. You know, they can replace your thoughts, they can pump stuff into your mind to make you think you're happy all the time. This is stuff David Icke was talking about. Years ago, he's been talking about this sort of stuff, how they want to set you up in this cyborg-type reality and feed you this message that you're all perfectly happy. This is something that he talked about in my film, I think it was Transformation, he talked about that. I went out to Uluru with him in Australia one year, way back, I don't know when it would have been, maybe 2016, 2017, maybe before, maybe 2010 even. But he was talking about this way back then. And that seems to be what they're doing. I mean, with these frequencies, with the jab, all the stuff they can do, they don't even need your brain. They can simply put your consciousness where they want to. But you have to agree for them to do it, is the thing. You might be tricked into it by doing things like chemically altering your body and putting all this nanotech and graphene and all the stuff that they need in their body to build the little operating system they want to build within you and transfer it that way, which is what they've done with the jab. Or you might willingly agree to it. But either way, those people who willingly agreed to the jab, knowing that this was, even according to the mainstream, this was a untested, entirely new type of vaccine, an mRNA vaccine, we're told. So they even told you, this is an experimental mRNA vaccine, we don't know what it's going to do, but it's safe and effective. Well, how do they know it's safe and effective if it's untried and they've never used it before, you know? But anyway, it wasn't even a vaccine. We don't even know if mRNA was involved in it. I'm pretty sure there was something in there to change the direction of the antenna that picks up your consciousness. Whether it was mRNA or what, I mean, who knows? Who knows if DNA is even real, folks? We hear all this stuff about DNA tests and this and that. Never seen any DNA. Seen some nice graphics of DNA, but never seen any actual DNA. There's another plane up there. And look at that, folks. That is a contrail. It's not a chemtrail, because it's disappearing behind the plane. You see that? It's not leaving a streak against the sky. That's a plane that's actually high enough to be reacting with the cold air surrounding the engines and is actually leaving a contrail. And yet you see these other things, like this stuff up here. And well, you can see that. This stuff up here. And this is obviously a chemtrail. I mean, look at it. It goes right across the sky, some of these things. Now, here's a plane over here as well, which the exhaust isn't disappearing behind the plane. It's actually leaving a line. That is a chemtrail. And yet again, over here, we see this plane, which is letting out a contrail. Big difference, folks. Big difference. And, of course, there is another chemtrail up here. So, you know, contrails do exist, but chemtrails are something provably different. And no, these are not jet exhausts. Jet planes never had exhaust fumes coming out of them when I was a kid. How come they suddenly started doing this? And jet fuel is simply kerosene anyway. And I don't even believe that these planes run on jet fuel. I think they use kerosene or jet fuel to start them, to get off the runway, to get up high enough to a speed fast enough that the turbines in the motors can take over. These planes run off compressed air, folks. And they say that each one of them has 300 tons of fuel in it or something. No freaking way do these planes have 300 tons of fuel in their wings. You can't even walk on the wings without damaging them. They're so thin. And they're full of hydraulic equipment, full of stuff where the wheels fold up into it. And, you know, it's ridiculous, the whole concept of jet fuel, folks. And saying that these are jet exhausts. And if you use a plane to fly anywhere, you need to offset your carbon footprint. I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. But getting back to consciousness in the mainframe, imagine what it would be like if they had complete control of you by putting your consciousness into a robot. Now, maybe these robots will be controlled by AI, whatever, but I'm sure they'd prefer to have them controlled by human brains because they simply like torturing people. That's what they do best, folks. And like with Gaza, if they wanted to just kill the people in Gaza, they could have just gone in and killed them, but they've tortured them for nearly 8 months, and they're continuing to do so. As I said, the people in Gaza, 1.4 million refugees huddled into this tiny little area in southern Rafah, are now having a rain of bombs fall on them under the pretext of removing the last four battalions of Hamas. You know, still claiming there's hostages and stuff. I'd say Israel's killed all the hostages. Even in the deal that Hamas tried to broker with them, that Qatar and a few Arab countries tried to broker with Israel, and they refused, of course, because it doesn't give them total control of the place. Even Hamas said in that we will give you back 33 hostages. Interesting how it's 33, isn't it? We'll start off with 33 hostages, then we'll give you another 33 hostages. But they said they'll give them back to Israel alive or dead. Because I would suggest that most of them are dead because they've been bombed by Israeli terrorist forces. It's incredible, folks, what's happening to the world. You know, and it's a war. We're at war. I said this back in 2008 in my first film. World War III has already started. It's a war of depopulation that is being waged by the governments of the world against the people of the world. And one of the main tools they're going to use to carry out this war is control of food, starvation, the weaponization of food. Even Henry Kissinger said back in 1977 that food will be weaponized. People wonder what that might be. Think it's by marginalizing different countries. Well, in many ways it is. It's stopping the supply of food, but also controlling what's in the food and slowly poisoning the people. We're being attacked and poisoned on so many levels, folks. Food, water, chemtrails in the sky, the mental abuse that people are subject to by simply being told to do what they're told and walk between the lines all the time. It's horrendous what's going on. You know, there's a war going on. And it isn't countries against other countries. As was said by Eva Vladingerbroek on the speech she gave at the last video that I uploaded, you know, we've reached a point where countries don't need to be invaded to be conquered. They're being conquered from within by parasitic politicians who do not support their own countries but actually support the rogue state of Israel. Of course, you can't say that because now you're anti-Semitic and you could be subject to the death penalty. Thanks, Donald. Again, folks, how anyone can trust this lying toad, I don't know. I mean, but even saying that, people say, well, that means you support Biden. No, I don't. They're all criminals. All politicians are criminals. It's a prerequisite. You've got to be a barefaced liar in order to be a successful politician. You've got to be a barefaced liar who has sworn allegiance to a foreign state or a foreign corporate body, such as the World Economic Forum or the WHO or any of these places, in order to be a successful politician. If you're not a barefaced liar and a traitor to your country, you will never be elected to a position of leadership. Because modern Western leaders, in fact most leaders around the world, if not all, are leading their country directly into the sewer. That's what they're doing, folks. Oh, look at this, little chickens. Isn't that cute? Cute little things, folks. It's cool being here on the farm. It really is. Yeah, they're leading their countries into the sewer, folks. This is about depopulation. You know, there's a war going on, and people don't even know that they're on the battlefield. Now, we try to inform them. I'm trying to do everything I can here to inform and inspire and empower the Croatian people while I'm here. As I've been saying in my talks, I think there's a real opportunity here in Croatia because you've got a small enough population that you can actually stand up and claim the country back. 3.9 million people here in Croatia. 26 million people just in Mexico City. And 26 million people in Australia, and they're all spread out. Very, very hard to motivate these people into anything. And they're fed so much disinformation, and they're taught not to get along with each other. Everyone's struggling so much. They're struggling, lack of housing, lack of this, lack of everything, lack of sanity. And of course, they take it out on their neighbors. It's really unfortunate, folks, but that's what a lot of people do in a lot of countries. These chemtrails are outrageous, folks. They really are. Every time I look up, there's a new one appearing or just been laid. It's remarkable. Beautiful little donkey over here, you can probably see. He's a cool little guy. He always comes over and says hello. Whenever you walk out in the yard, he always comes over and says hello to you. He's a really cool little donkey, folks. But yeah, they're doing everything they can to completely mess us up. I mean, what can I say? Destroying the farming industry. Now Bill Gates is coming to the rescue, of course. Bill Gates is saying that they need to re-educate the farmers because they're the ones who are really suffering. But of course, we have to stop farming because farming is killing us.
I'm here in Dubai. This is COP28, a very, very important meeting. The issue of health and climate will be discussed at length. That's never gotten the attention it deserves. The issue of food systems and how with climate change, a lot of farmers aren't able to grow their crops, which is a tragedy for them. We'll talk about using innovation to absolutely solve that problem.
The man is so full of shit, it's incredible. But yeah, now they've got to re-educate the farmers. What are we going to do? Re-educate them into making bug soup for everybody, or growing insects, or growing mealworms, and having big rubbish dumps and allowing the flies to lay lots of maggots so they can harvest the maggots and feed us larvae. Is that how they're going to re-educate the farmers? They don't need to re-educate the farmers. What they need to do is tar and feather Bill Gates and run him off a cliff somewhere. That's what needs to happen with all of our politicians, folks. A lot could be said for tarring and feathering in the modern world. I mean, what can I say? You know, and you know me, I'm not a violent person. But these people are killing us by what appears to be non-violent means. But they use violence all the time, folks. Taxation is violence. You know, do what you're told or we'll send these thugs in black Kevlar to beat the shit out of you and put you in a cage. I mean, and they claim to get that power from us, of course. But as I said before, you know, you can't delegate a power you do not have to a politician. You don't delegate that power to them. They don't get it from us. They just make it up as they go along. It's crazy. Look at this one. This chemtrail up here, folks. Just look at this shit. Every freaking day. The poor people of Europe, I mean, it's just, it's incredible what they're subject to. Look at this, hardly any of these clouds up here. I mean, some of those lower ones maybe, but all of this streaky shit across the sky here, this is all chemtrails, folks. All chemtrails. But yeah, there's an unconventional war going on. Our politicians are using soft kill methods with all of us, all of our countries, and again, putting races against each other, cultures against each other. We still have hope. We still have an opportunity to take the world back. But the people need to see how they're being played. And look at some of the stuff. The police just take any opportunity they can to give themselves more power. And look at some of these guys. Look at this guy from Western Australia. I mean, would you trust this man with your children? Same as the guy from Queensland. I mean, look at this demented fool. I mean, is this someone who looks like he's a trustworthy person? These guys look like bull terriers or something. I mean, they don't even look human, folks. You've got to wonder if they are human. I mean, what's going on with some of these people? Some of the people that you see standing behind politicians, I mean, what are these people? Are they robots or clones or reptiles or what are they? Yeah, I mean, what is that, folks? What do you even call that? Is that human? I have to wonder. I'm sorry, but I really have to wonder. And you see more and more of it. I mean, some of these people, they just do not look normal. They look like clones, or they look like just robots that are malfunctioning a little bit. Yeah, what makes a person do that? I mean, you ever try doing that with your eyes? It's pretty crazy, folks. Pretty freaking crazy. Maybe they're simply robots wearing human skin. Because they can do this. You've seen all the stuff I've put out on masks. You've seen how far advanced they are with robots. And remember, what they're showing us how advanced these robots are. Of course, they're 10 times more advanced than that. They don't show you stuff until it's already perfected and working. Then they start showing it out and leaking it to the public and show you how they're developing this sort of stuff. No, they're 10 years ahead, if not 20 years or 30 years ahead. Like, they're eons ahead of what they tell you all the time. See, I really wonder who all these people are. I mean, I still wonder what that thing is pretending to be Joe Biden, whether that's human, whether it's a guy in a mask, whether it's a robot. You know, half the stuff you see on TV, you can't even be sure that it's real at all. Half of it's probably AI generated. Now, I think they're light years ahead of what they tell us, folks. I really do. And I always have been. I mean, I don't even think any of the technology we're using is new. As I've said before, I think they just do this every 100 years or every 200 years. They just do a reset. They repopulate the world with children. I mean, all the stuff that I've showed you about the orphan trains and thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of children being shipped all around the world back in the 1890s or 1900s. I think they do this all the time. And then they tell the kids that there's just been this industrial revolution and blah, blah, blah. And then they invent the television for them, and it just goes on from there to where we are now. When you look at the leaps and bounds in technology, it's been way too quick for us to have done this ourselves. We've done this as any normal type of evolution of technology anyway. Of course, that's what all the movies are about. They program you with the movies, start off in the 50s with sci-fi movies and stuff, and as the graphics get better and blah, 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 then it becomes programming. But think what they could do with you if your consciousness was controlled by them. There's a recent series that came out. I'll let you watch the most popular ones and just see what they're feeding the people. But there was a recent series that came out called The Three-Body Problem. And there's one part in that series where they actually get a guy to give up his brain so they can send it into space. And his friend's trying to convince him not to. What could happen if someone was to take control of his brain? And have a listen to this.
Maybe they turn you into a program and they communicate with you through an interface. You can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel. Like an isolation tech, question goes in, answer comes out. Whether you like it or not, they just read your mind. Maybe it's not an isolation tech. Well, they want to know everything about what it means to be a human being. And maybe the only way for them to do that is to interact with you. So they bring you back. They run experiments on you to learn how we experience things. What makes us happy?
That sounds pretty good, actually.
What makes us unhappy? What makes us so unhappy that it could be used against us? How do we feel exhaustion? How do we feel fear? How do we feel pain? How do we suffer? How much can we take? They can do whatever they want to you. They can push you to the limit and past it, but you don't get to die. If you do, they'll just bring you back again. And they can do that for a month. They can do that for a century. They can do that for 10,000 years.
Use you to experiment with. They can use you just as a plaything to do whatever they want with. Once you're locked into that mind frame, once you're locked into that consciousness, they figure out what causes pain, what causes fear, what causes all of these things, what causes pleasure, all of which are simply electrical impulses, because this is an electrical universe. They're basically telling you what they can do and what they can't do. And again, it's people's choice as to whether they comply with this, whether they give up their soul willingly. Well, not even give up their soul, but allow the I am that is them to be attached to a machine or attached to a mainframe so that the soul is still locked, hovering over it. You know, it's a personal choice for everybody. Personally, I prefer to die. I absolutely would. You know, the one thing we came here to do is to die. We come here to choose between good and evil, to find out where we really sit in the spectrum of things. That's why evil has to exist. People say there is no good, there is no evil. Well, there is. Otherwise, there'd be no point in coming here. You know, if you had memory of everything and you already knew what was going on, there would also be no point in coming here. It's got to be this grand amnesiac experiment where you get to choose between right and wrong. You know, whether you're worthy to go to whatever comes after. Whether you come back here, whether you return to source, whether you become part of some collective, I mean, who knows what happens. I really don't think it's the heaven and hell that the Bible tells us. And I honestly don't support any religion, as I've said before, folks. I think all religion is designed to lead you away from God. I think we all have a direct connection to what is divine. And what gets in the way of that is belief systems. And all religions have a seed of supremacy right at their core. All of them will tell you, you must tolerate other religions, but you're the one who's got it right. Supremacism, that's what all religion is based on, and that's taken to the extreme degree when you look at Judaism and what these people think of themselves. I mean, the ego of these people is just phenomenal, folks, phenomenal. But they really believe they've won. You know, they've gone out, they've sent this jab out around the world, they're depopulating so many people. You know, and the call is for 7 billion people to be removed. They say we should have 1 billion people on Earth and that's it. That's 7 billion people they want removed, folks. And people who think, well, you know, climate change and blah, 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 and less people would be a good idea. Well, okay, go kill yourself, okay? Lead by example. Kill yourself and your family and all your friends, and let's see if it's a better world because of it. You know, they just don't say, right, they want to depopulate, but no, it couldn't possibly include me. Of course it could. What do you think all this stuff is about, folks? Chemtrails. Poisons. All through the sky. Remarkable stuff. Well, getting on to other topics for a second as well, I mentioned on the last report that Jason Brashears was arrested. Some toxic little dweeb on YouTube, or perhaps a few of them, had been making calls to the police since last November, urging them to go and deal with this guy. And Jason, I mean, he got imprisoned wrongfully. He was involved in a crime when he was a kid. All they did was steal a car. They didn't know there was a girl in the back. When the guy that was with Jason molested the girl, Jason actually took the girl and the car to the police station and reported the whole thing. So, you know, he actually saved the girl's life. And he was 17 at the time. He was a minor. He shouldn't have gone to jail. He should have gone to a work camp. But they put him in jail. He ended up doing 26 years in jail. And then some little dweeb on YouTube starts ringing up the police and just pushing. And apparently they've been ringing the police since November last year. And it took until April before the police went around and arrested Jason. Toxic little people, folks. Really toxic, small-minded little people. Obviously jealous of Jason or don't like his work or whatever. If you don't like his work, just don't watch it. I mean, it's that simple, folks. But he's out of jail. He got released. And not only that, they've given him the details of who the perpetrators were. So I would expect they can be prepared for a pretty nasty time coming to them as well, because it's actually illegal to wrongly report people and all the stuff they did. I mean, some cops aren't bad. Some of them actually joined the force to deal with crime and criminals because they think the system's real. I mean, they're all not particularly bright, but some of them aren't actually bad people. You know, they get into that club and they do bad things because everyone else is doing it and they think it's right and because they're not real bright. But, you know, there is crime for these people to deal with. They don't deal with most of it, but there is a lot that they do need to deal with. So someone ringing up and making calls like this and urging them to go and do something which is completely irrelevant and has no real meaning or bearing is kind of a crime in itself. So I would suggest that these people who did all this stuff to Jason can probably expect something to come back on themselves. You know, I mean, what goes around comes around, folks. Life is an emotional mirror. And if you do bad things to people, then bad things are going to happen to you. That's just the way it goes. And the system loves doing this sort of stuff to people. I mean, it loves inflicting itself upon anybody that it can. And if it arrested Jason and then didn't get to inflict itself upon Jason, then you can be sure that it's going to enjoy inflicting itself upon those who tried to set Jason up. But yeah, he's out of jail. And that's a good thing. Oh, I like Jason Brashears. I think he's a cool guy. Whether I agree with all his research or not, I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough to really know whether I agree with it or not. I agree with a lot of stuff that he says. And apart from that, he's just a nice guy. I mean, I've enjoyed the time I've spent with him when I've been at his house, which is only a couple of times, but it's been good. He's a very amicable, a very sociable, very considerate person from what I can tell. So, yeah. So all this shit that people say, and you know, I mean, people have shit with me as well. People have shit with everyone. People have so much shit with Jeff Berwick. And Jeff, again, is a really nice guy. Jeff really helped me out. The advancement he's made on himself and his own personal growth in the last 2 or 3 years is remarkable, folks. I'd challenge anyone to have the same results and to have put the same amount of effort into working on themselves as what Jeff has done in the last 3 years, ever since he gave up drinking, which has been great. You know, and of course, giving up drinking, this of course would have been great for his wife as well. I mean, she had a baby since then. I doubt she would have wanted to have had a baby with the guy who used to get drunk all the time, who's the other Jeff Berwick. But the work that he's done since then, it's a credit to him. It really is. And I'm proud of you, Jeff, if you're watching this. But it is, I mean, and we can all do this, folks, but the thing is, you know, all the shit that people have with people, I mean, if you don't like what they're saying, if you don't like my shows, you don't like Jeff's shows, you don't like Jason Brashears is doing or whatever, don't watch the videos. Go put out your own videos. And there's no reason for you to subject yourself to things that you don't like, folks. More chemtrails. Again, you see the difference between that and the contrail that I was showing you before. I don't know, it's something that is so in people's faces, it's so obvious, and it's there every day in every country. All you got to do is look up, and people are still in denial of it. There's even pilots. I saw a video the other day where a pilot was saying that chemtrails are a necessary evil.
Bueno, decía hola a los pilotos.
Sí, aquí están.
Hola. Do you speak English too?
No.
No?
Just give. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Just a question to you. Hello.
Hi.
Do you speak English?
Sure. What do you need?
Okay. Just a question. Do you know what is a chemtrail?
The what?
A chemtrail.
I do know what a chemtrail is.
And is it true?
Well, there's a big debate.
No, but do you believe it?
I don't know. Well, I don't have enough information about that.
Okay. Yeah, but because I saw a lot of videos on the internet, and it really looks believable.
Well, it's arguable both ways, I think.
Yeah?
Depends on which side you're on, but...
Yeah. But what is your personal opinion of it?
I think there's part of truth.
Part of truth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we should investigate this, because when it's true, imagine... So many people, they suffer of this.
Okay. Yeah, it's a necessary evil, as you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a necessary evil, as you could say.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
I mean, I guess he thinks climate change is real or whatever, and this is some sort of blocking out of the sun or whatever that has to be done to protect us and save lives. I mean, maybe he's just demented. All he really understands is how to fly an aircraft and not much about life. But by even saying that, he's admitting that, yeah, that chemtrails are real. We do indulge in spraying. You know, and people saying it's jet exhaust. Well, if it's jet exhaust, why don't these chemtrails come from the jet engines? Why is there sometimes like 4 or 5 of these nozzles on each wing and they're obviously nothing to do with exhaust. They're literally spraying the skies. But like I said, that pilot even saying that, I mean, he has confirmed for people the chemtrails are real. Yes, they're spraying the skies, folks. I mean, you know, it, like I said, it's one of the most obvious things. It's in front of people's faces every day, and they refuse to look at it. They refuse to acknowledge it. They think that you're a conspiracy theory for even talking about it. You know, it's like Plato's cave, folks. Everyone's locked into this world, and they just can't see outside the cave. Of course, now they're locked into a virtual world, and they can't see that there was any life outside their little virtual reality that they're living in. I guess we've been living in a virtual reality for a while. I mean, people get all their information from the television, which is a virtual reality. It's not anything that's happening on your street outside. TV will tell you that it is, but of course it isn't. So many stories they manufactured and made up and got actors in to do the stories. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous, folks. Television has programmed people for so long, and it's been so obvious that that's what it's been doing. But it continued to do so. And now it's all moved over onto online stuff. And you can't even tell what's real and what isn't. Again, there's people that are sending people messages on Telegram, asking them to invest in crypto and all sorts of stuff, and claiming to be me. And they're actually using my voice to send them voice messages. And folks, if you ever get one of these messages, no, I will never solicit you to buy crypto, to invest in anything. I will never contact you privately. And there's also fake Telegram channels such as the Crow House Buy Me a Coffee, I think. There's a Buy Me a Coffee channel somewhere on Telegram. There's Max Egan channels on Telegram as well. I have a Max Egan account, but my only channel on Telegram is the Crow House. And there's a link below the video. If you click plus more beneath this video, you'll see a link to my official Telegram channel, to my official Instagram. Anybody else who's asking you to donate to them, like buy me a coffee or anything like that, this is not me, folks. Do not send them any money. Do not invest in anything they want you to invest in. And if you get a voice message claiming to be me that even sounds like me, that is asking you to invest in anything, or even a private message at all, but if you're someone that I don't know, I'm not going to send you a private message, folks. It's just not going to happen. I don't do that. The only people I message are people that I know in real life that I'm already in contact with. So if you receive anything like that, a voice message, a private message, anything asking you to invest in anything or donate to a go buy me a coffee or whatever, it's not me. Don't send them any money. Report the channel to whatever platform you're on, Instagram or Telegram or whatever, Twitter, whatever, and let them know that it's an imposter that is attempting to extort money from people, and it is not me. It's really important that people get a handle on this, folks, and realize that there's a lot of people out there trying to discredit everybody. I mean, anybody who's speaking the truth, they're trying to discredit. Imagine how many people will invest in some of these platforms, and then it'll all go pear-shaped, and they'll blame me for it, when it wasn't me. But yeah, just be aware of this, folks. You can go to my BitChute page. You can go to my Odyssey page, my Rumble page, and like I said, you'll find all the links below this video. But if you really want to find out where I am and what platforms I'm on, simply go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and take the links from there. Again, you can take the links from below this video as well. But it's important to get your information from the right sources and to realize that it's not me doing this, folks, and it never will be. These chemtrails, folks, they don't stop. They just don't stop. They just keep on spraying these skies, folks. And like I said, I showed you before what a contrail looks like. And it certainly doesn't look like these chemtrails, which is obvious spraying that's going on in the skies. And, you know, in an hour or two, this will all be spread out into these thin, wispy clouds that turn the sky silver. I'll keep it going for a couple of days, and then I'll bring on more rain, and they will bring it all down on the food, bring it all down into the water supply, onto your pets, onto you, onto everything. They're literally exterminating most life on Earth, folks, you know, creating a situation where we're carbon zero. And carbon zero, as I've said before, folks, we're carbon-based life forms. Carbon zero means no life. If you look at the moon, whether you think the moon is real or not, but look at what we're presented to as the moon being the moon, We're told that it's this rock up in the sky there. Well, that's a carbon zero environment. Does that look like a very hospitable place? No, it doesn't. I don't actually think the moon is what they tell us. I think it's either a plasma projection or it's a hollow spaceship. I mean, who knows? There's been a lot of talk about that for years. Now we people say, oh, space isn't real. Yeah, you don't know. You haven't been up there. I don't know what's real and what isn't when I get above, you know, 30,000 feet. I have no clue. I can't go up there and find out. But it's either that. It's either a hollow object or it's a plasma projection. I mean, that interesting lunar wave that was photographed by someone, videoed by someone a few years ago, that was interesting. And I just don't trust it. I've never trusted the moon. But then I never trust anything that comes from official sources anyway. But anyway, folks, I guess I'll leave it there for now. Just be aware that we are heading for a major dystopia if people don't stand up. And we've got a very short window with which to stand up. It's not going to work by arguing with people. I mean, there's a lot of people that are aware now. A lot of people are aware that the world's all corrupt. They may not be awake to what's really going on, but they're aware that things are not the way they were told. That's a good sign. And as I've said, the best way to get through it is for you to be the best version of yourself you can possibly be and influence people around you that way. But always call out corruption. Don't do it in an angry, provocative or violent way. Simply ask the right questions and call it out for what it is. Speak common sense and truth. Do it in a crowded arena where you're a public gathering or something like that, or you're addressing a politician or whatever, and people are going to listen to it and go, yeah, yeah, what he said, you know? That's the way to do it. Violent revolution, I don't think, will solve anything. But if people can be the best version of themselves that they've ever been, now's the time for them to do it, and simply lead by example in what they are, then it will make a difference, you know? And we could reclaim the world that way, folks. We really could. I mean, and as I've said, if the politicians get violent or the police get violent, then we may have to respond with counter-violence. But we should not be the instigators of that violence. And even if I had to resort to counter-violence against someone who was attacking me, I mean, I'm not going to want to kill them. I'm not going to go on the attack of them. I'll defend myself to the point that they stop attacking. You know, if they push it and push it and push it and I end up killing them, well, that was their choice. It's not something that I want to do. But even if I had to do that, I wouldn't be doing it out of hate for them. I'd be doing it out of love for myself, love for the people that I'm protecting. You know, you've really got to look at this through the right type of eyes, folks, and see how this is going on. There's a saw or something going on over there, which is really annoying, folks. There's a chainsaw, it sounds like. The guy probably cutting branches off his tree or something, so I'm sorry about that, but that's just the way it goes. There's always something. But, you know, we've got to see what's going on here, folks, and see what the answer is. The answer is us. There is no political remedy. You're not going to save America by voting for Donald Trump. You're not going to save America by voting for Joe Biden or voting for anybody who is part of that system. You know, if we're going to have government at all, then we need to write people's mandates towards these governments and give them what wishes we wish them to carry out. You know, we want you to extricate us from the WHO, from the WEF. We want you to roll back this whole smart grid you're doing, stop this 5G communication system, and stop the digital IDs. You have 30 days to comply. Should you fail to comply, we will rally the people to express a loss of confidence in this government, and we will take whatever steps are necessary to dissolve this parliament and to re-elect government from amongst we the people ourselves. If you're going to have any form of government, that's what it needs to be. And even if we were to try to establish freedom, I would suggest we do need some form of government to lead us back to a point of safety. We need some sort of coordinating body. And the first thing it should do would be to institute a real education system that actually educated people and didn't seek to indoctrinate and enslave people. I mean, that would be the first step, something like people's mandates. Okay, you think the system's real? We'll use the system against you, and we'll demand that you do these things for us. That's what needs to happen. I mean, that's seriously what needs to happen, folks, because people are so uneducated, they're just plain stupid. I saw a video yesterday, I didn't save the video, so I don't think I can show it to you. I don't know if I can find it again. But there was a woman at roadworks, and all the left side of her was all cordoned off. You couldn't, no traffic could go by. And yet there's a red light on the road stopping traffic, and she's waiting for the red light to turn green before she goes forward. It's incredible. So stupid that you can have companies releasing t-shirts with non-binary flags on them that come in both men and women's styles. Think about that one for a minute. A non-binary t-shirt that comes in both men and women's styles. That's the level of stupidity that we're facing. Look at this sky, folks. I know I keep coming back to it, but look at this sky. The poor people in Croatia. This is what they deal with every day, and not just Croatia, I mean all across Europe. Look at this stuff. It's just crazy, folks. The amount of chemtrails, it's just unbelievable. The amount of spraying in the sky. It's just next level stuff. Absolutely next level. But anyway, there was a bunch of stuff I was going to say to you. I actually ran out of battery before and went in and changed the battery and came back out here and recorded another 30 minutes of video. But there was no audio on it. Funny how that works. Even when I'm using the onboard mic, I'm having audio problems. It's just an ongoing saga for me, it would seem. There's these little chickens again. Cute little fellas. But yes, I don't know what I talked about before, but I plan on ending the video anyway. But thank you to all the people who do listen to the show. Thank you to all the people who've stuck by me for so many years. It's been an interesting journey. It really has. People that have listened to the show and gone through the evolution of spirit, the evolution of consciousness of all of us. It's been an interesting journey. And we're getting to the really serious part right now. You know, the world is changing dramatically, folks, and the only ones who can stop what's coming is us. And if we don't stop it, then we're going to end up going where we're headed. And that will not be a very good place. People have to understand that we're being controlled by a criminal class disguised as politicians. These parasites are serving foreign corporations and basically just serving themselves. And they are working to massively depopulate this world. You can try to sugarcoat it, but really, that's what's happening. And it's really important that we deal with this. It really is. You know, some people just sort of look back and go, oh, well, it's just the way it is. But I mean, the stuff that's going on is just outrageous. We're being poisoned in so many ways and from so many angles. It's just, it's incredible that people can't see it. It really is. And it's happening right under their noses. And they're still waiting for a solution, still waiting for a savior to come and save them, and not realizing that they are the key to their own salvation. But yeah, thank you to all the people who continue to listen to the show. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to all the people that take the information on board themselves and step onto the front line and make their voices heard. That's the important thing. Be the best version of yourself you can possibly be. Shine your light in your community and others will emulate you. A lot of people waking up, folks. A lot of people becoming aware anyway, becoming aware that the world is corrupt. Maybe not waking up to a degree we would like them to, but still many of them are waking up to what's going on. And it's important that they see the power that they hold, because we all hold the power to change this. We hold the power to everything. Even the belief in authority, the fact that these parasites can get away with what they're doing, we hold the power to change that belief. As said by Larkin Rose, I think, he wrote a book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, which of course is the belief in authority. Now, if we're going to have governments, we need to institute them ourselves. And, you know, really lead us back to a point of awareness and education where we realize that we don't need governments. That's going to be a process. It's taken generations to get us to this point, and I think it's going to take at least two or three generations to get us back to a point of real safety. who knows what the world could be by then. Maybe we will have already gone through another reset. I mean, who knows what's coming, folks. But, hey, no stake in the outcome. As I've said many times, if the human race destroys itself, then it does. Many of us offered a better idea. But it's up to people to realize the power they have for themselves. And that's all I've ever tried to do with these video reports and radio shows and films, all the stuff that I've done. I've only ever attempted to encourage people to think for themselves and see that they hold the key. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining on this report. Again, thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails, so many kind words. Thank you to all the people who send me information as well. There's a lot of that going on, which is really good. I mean, it's hard to keep track of it all. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much going on in the world at the moment that, you know, it really is hard to keep track of it. So it's great that people from all around the world are sending me information about what's happening in their own country. But ultimately, when you look at it, you see it's the same as what is happening in every country. Lockstep, folks, they're all working together. And it's important that people see there is no political remedy to this. There's no one you can vote in or vote out. The best thing we could do would be to get rid of these governments altogether and reclaim our world. But yeah, thank you to all the people who send me information. Thank you to people who send me kind emails and good compliments on the channel. You get the trolls, but that's all right. Thanks to the trolls as well. You help let me know that I'm on the right track anyway. If I wasn't on the right track, I wouldn't be so heavily censored. It's remarkable, the level of censorship, folk, it really is. And censorship is always the last ditch attempt of a desperate government who really want to hide the truth from the people. Like I said before, we didn't hear of fact checkers until COVID. We didn't hear of any of this stuff until COVID. Actually, there's a really good video that was put out by Pauline Hanson, of all people. Not that I'm a Pauline Hanson fan, but she put out a video basically describing the Australian government to a T. And it isn't really the Australian government only, it's all governments really can be described by this video, and I think I might include it at the end of this talk, just so you can see. It's quite good. But yeah, thank you to all the people speaking out. Thank you to all the people, anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. If you can make one, it would be really appreciated, folks. I'm actually in a bit of a desperate position with what's been going on with the bar. Like I've said, I'll probably have to close the bar. I don't know. I've still got to talk to the manager, who I've left there in control of the place. We're going to have a conversation later on today and see what sort of a plan we can formulate. But the bar just isn't making any money. And it isn't the fact that I want to make money out of it or anything. I just want it to pay for itself. But it's not even making enough money to pay the rent on the place. Not even enough money to pay the wages of the people that are working there at the moment. So it's just costing me money to keep it open. And I really don't have a lot of money left. So I can't keep going on like this. It's just going to have to change. So there's every indication that the bar will be closing, which really is unfortunate because, as I said, we did put quite a bit of work into getting it up and running. But hey, that's just the way things go. If the bar closes, well, I'll just take stock and move myself into a better position, I guess. You know, it's kind of been tying me down anyway. The fact that I've got all this stuff now, I've got all this equipment from the bar and all these things, and I'm kind of stuck in Acapulco. It's very difficult to move or go anywhere. Plus, I have the cat. It's all this stuff that I never really came to Mexico with. I came to Mexico with two suitcases and a laptop and a travel guitar. And I've certainly got a great deal more than that now, which is really not what I had planned at all. But perhaps if the bar closes and I just get rid of what I've got and just sell it off or give it away or whatever, then I'll be free to travel again and perhaps I'll find out where my home is. But yeah, I'm in a pretty sad financial situation at the moment, so if anybody can help, folks, if you've ever thought about making a contribution to the website, it would be greatly appreciated. As I think I pointed out before, there are a lot of fake channels as well, folks. A lot of people buy me a coffee, all this sort of stuff, claiming it's going to me. It's not. The only way to donate to me is through my Stripe account or through direct deposits to my Wise Bank. Any of these channels you see doing this, folks, are contacting you and soliciting for you to invest in crypto or whatever, it's not me. Please report these channels. And yeah, don't send them any money. It's disgraceful, really, that people would be doing this sort of stuff. I mean, they're so dysfunctional in their own lives that the only way they're able to get money is to impersonate other people and to steal contributions that are given to them by people in good faith who really genuinely believe their contributions are going where they think they're going, and they're not. So yeah, it's only through Stripe or through my Wise account, folks. Again, you'll find all the links below my videos, and again, if you really want confirmation, just go to my website and follow the links from there. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. It's been a pleasure having your company, as it always is. And I will get into town and get to do a video where the Sea Organ is and a couple of other places. There's a lake system I would really like to have walked around and shown you, but when I went away up north to Zagreb, it was kind of raining the whole time, so I didn't get a chance to do that. There is a good park in town, in Zadar, that I'd like to possibly do a walk and talk in as well. So you get to see that. But I still got like 3 weeks or something that I'm here before I have to take off again. And then it's going to be back to Mexico and just see what's going on in Mexico. There's been a lot of deaths in Mexico lately, which is kind of interesting. A lot of deaths in my actual area where I live, which is kind of interesting. So yeah, see what comes of it all, hey? Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Please take very good care until we meet again. And I'll leave you with this video from Pauline Hanson, just because I think it hits the point quite well. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon, folks. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache.
Hi, it's me, Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister of Australia. And I'm a big dumb clown.
And me, Peter Dutton, the Leader of the Opposition. I'm also a big dumb clown.
Not a clown.
What is it, Anthony?
It's this Pauline Hanson's cartoon series, making us look like clowns again.
Well, that's preposterous. Why don't you just get him to take it off the air?
Nah, that's impossible. It's on the internet.
There's a way. Put some pants on and follow me.
Where are we going?
We're going to Karen's.
Karen's? Who's Karen?
Back in 2015, the Turnbull government launched Project Karen's, which established the Office of the E-Safety Commissioner.
Oh, so we put a Karen in charge of keeping the internet safe.
Well, that's what we told the people anyway. But it's really all about controlling the internet, which is why we call it the Keep Australia Regulated to Enforce a Nanny State. Project Karen's.
Ew, I don't like that. Delete. And I don't like that. Delete.
Oh, wow. So that's the E-Safety Commissioner.
Yep, real name, Julie Inman Grant, a disgruntled former Twitter employee with ties to the World Economic Forum. We pay her $450,000 a year.
No! Delete!
Whoa, so she could delete anything from the internet?
Pretty much. She started just deleting this dangerous, harmful stuff, but now we just let her delete whatever she wants.
Misgendering? Delete!
Doing great, Julie.
Hey, I gotta forward you a post. I've gotta send it to 10 people, otherwise I'll die.
Wow, she knows so much about the internet. Hey, Julie, have you seen this? It's the latest step of the incredibly popular Pauline Hanson cartoon series.
Pauline Hanson must delete!
Oh no, it's not working. Looks like satire's too powerful.
Well, why don't we just give her a little more government power then?
It's working! Look! The video's disappearing! YouTube, gone! Facebook, gone! LinkedIn, gone!
Well done, Albo. We've given Julie enough power to censor whatever she wants on the internet, and now we don't look like clowns.
Oh, what's going on? I can't hide the leaf!
Hey, it's still up on X! Why can't she delete it from X?
I hate X! I hate Elon! Put him in jail!
He's out of control!
Stand back. She worked at Twitter, remember? She hates Elon Musk and his free speech agenda. Oh no, where did she go?
Davos. How do you know that? I'm looking at the receipts right now. She just spent $40,000 on flights. Looks like she's going to use taxpayer money to set up a global online safety regulator that's going to take control of the entire internet.
Well, I guess we should probably stop her, right?
Nah, we should let her go.
There's no way people are going to find out about this and make us look like clowns, are they?
No, I doubt it, Dutton. There's no way this sort of overreach will gain worldwide attention.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Anthony. It's not like X or Elon Musk himself will personally try and stop us or anything.
Exactly. It's not like people really value freedom of speech and expression.
Definitely not. And they'll blindly trust that their government's got their best interests at heart.
Especially after COVID.
And it's not like they'll ever vote against our two-party duopoly anyway. What are they going to do, support a party like One Nation who actually stand up for Australia's freedoms?
Yeah, jeez. We'd really look like clowns then, Dutton.
Yeah, absolute clowns.